You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
That's Santa Claus. And this is Two Chunks and a Hunk. Welcome, our beautiful dear listeners, to Two Chunks and a Hunk, which is this. And I am Jordan, which is me.
This one's Doge, and this is for all the teens out there. One of the cruelties of chunkhood is that you'll never really know what your parents were really like at your age, and they'll never accurately remember.
Oh, gosh.
Let me put a pin in the podcast to address that for a second.
Mm-hmm. Pause it.
I don't want to know what my parents were like. Maybe at my age now is fine, but somebody was like, do you want to meet your parents as teenagers? Nope. No, I do not.
Really?
No.
Really? You wouldn't get Back to the Future?
No. Well, no.
That's a good movie we all like. And now I'm finding out you don't like it.
Well, my parents taught me not to be friends with strange old men.
So that's fair.
I'm not that's sure fair. That I would find
old
myself
ladies
in that
though. They're usually pretty. They're pretty chill.
Well, that's I can overpower an old lady in a physical struggle. Ladies. But
check your assumptions. Doc Brown is a woman. The patient is her son.
It's her son.
Check
She's
your assumptions,
his mom. Check your assumptions about the movie you've seen. I don't know. I don't think I have any interest in knowing what my parents were like.
Hey, listen. Take it up with Una LaMarche. That's not my quote. That's Una LaMarche. That's an inspirational quote for teens.
It was under the category of inspirational quotes for teens.
All of these inspirational quotes suck.
The quotes I've read are from skiptomylou.org/inspirational-quotes-for-teens.
Dude, what a wild career for like a former street baller to put together. Skip to My Lou was definitely the name of one of the people that was on And One.
I mean, I'll send you guys this link in case you want to edify yourselves in our non-recording time.
Okay. Were the And One names like horse names in the Kentucky Derby? Who's your favorite?
This one's Carter,
player?
By the way, if we still want to do that part.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, let's do that part.
Happy
now.
To be here. This one's Carter.
I just got stuck on like my favorite baller is Ascending Moon.
What?
My favorite baller is Right on Track.
Right on Track.
This is my favorite basketball player, Sunday Afternoon.
Did you guys see that killer dunk from Dribble Hearted? It was amazing.
It was like Sick With It, The Professor, Spida, Skip to My Lou.
Tween the legs, apostrophe before the T.
Between the legs. They just called him Betwixt. And you best keep your legs together and your arms together. You will see a ball fly betwixt.
I don't think
I'm going to dribble between your legs.
Has a British person ever touched a basketball?
No, they die. It's honestly
a very good question.
Dude, can you imagine?
It's like putting the same poles of a magnet together.
Yes.
I think they just repel each other.
The answer is yes, which is really funny. because it's real. I know it is. But why are they sticking? Why are they staying away from it, man?
Can
why
aren't you we imagine? Seeing these
British ballers?
For some reason, I just can't. I can't even fathom a British basketball player. I don't know why. It just doesn't even compute to me.
Chunk up the juice.
it's total nonsense to me, the idea that a British person could even exist in the same room as a basketball.
Doesn't it feel like they would have a different name for like layups and free throws and stuff?
Yes, for sure. Like a yes, layup
take
is
your
a
penalty
bop-in.
Toss.
Yep. Oh my God.
Bring it bop-in. Bring it to the paint for a jammy Raj.
What? I'm stuck on bop in.
Jammy Raj is a dunk? Is that what it is?
I don't know. They won't tell me. They just keep saying, asking. I'm gonna go for the jammy Raj, and they never do it because I'm better at basketball than them because I'm American.
Yeah, I honestly, I think if you take the best basketball player from the UK and put him up against any seventh grader, they don't even have to be athletic. I think that an American seventh grader beats a professional UK basketball player.
Jammy Raj.
I just don't think it can happen.
Oh my gosh.
I can't even imagine it. Okay.
Oh, what have we stumbled upon? I can tell you, I do want to do a quick update with one of our partners out there, Infinity FC Dallas. Yeah. They are halfway through their season for the winter season and they're undefeated. So like that's a
classic
thing too.
That's, yeah. Honestly,
love
classic.
It. Love
that's
it.
Another
love
big
it.
American sport, soccer. You know, I can't yeah. even imagine any yeah. other countries playing that. Can't imagine British people playing soccer. Can you? I can't. I currently can't.
Well, not guys, currently, no.
No, not currently. As we're in the midst of Oh Christmas stream, I wanted to have a Christmas-based game. Is that okay with y'all?
Can we do
of course.
Yeah.
I've never yeah. asked if anything was okay.
Nope.
Right?
Didn't even know
y'all
you
cool
cared.
With that? Doesn't really matter. Let's do a little bit of Ranked You Very Much. Ranked You Very Much? It's not past tense yet, but it will be. Entertainment Weekly put together the 20 best Christmas movies ever. And listen, I have brought lists before that have been very upsetting. This is one of the more us lists, I would say. But these are the 20 best Christmas movies ever. So they've listed their picks for the best Christmas movies ever, featuring a grab bag of sentimental classics, adult-oriented comedies, and animated favorites. So this was released like a couple weeks ago. So I want to do a little bit of Rank You Very Much. Top 20, according to Entertainment Weekly, best Christmas movies ever. And I wanted to do this Rank You Very Much because as we watched Candy Cane Lane last night, I was thinking about like how doesn't it feel tough to enter the annual Christmas flick genre?
Yes, I think so.
It's doesn't tough, it to, feel tough like, to break into.
Doesn't it feel like there's two or three a decade that even make it?
Yeah.
I was asking Chels, I was like, what's the most recent like Klaus, and a lot of people don't even know about Klaus. It's just a good Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But like, what's the one? Maybe Elf?
Like all time classic. Probably
yeah.
would be Elf.
Probably
yeah.
Elf. Klaus the most is modern a yearly one. Rewatch for us, but that's just us. And then I think that given time, something like Spirited might make its way there.
Sure. Yeah.
Just because yeah. it's fun. I haven't rewatched it. I've only watched it the one time. And, you know, for us, like Family Stone is mandatory every year. But as far as like public consciousness, I think it's Elf.
Yeah. Absolutely wild.
And I mean, and Candy Cane Lane now.
Well, that's the thing. We could talk about that on the latter half of this episode. But it certainly felt like, because I was sitting there and then I was like, this will be a kid's nostalgia. This will be, they're going to remember these scenes maybe. Maybe they'll grow up on that. I don't know. But give me the 20 best Christmas movies ever. When we do a Rank You Very Much, each of these guys get three strikes and then they're out. We just really see it's whoever can last the longest, right? Who's the sole survivor?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I have this list here. You'll have to give me a little bit
who's
of time.
Who's going
to
first, Carter?
Can you give times. Me the official title of the list on the website? Like what is the list called verbatim?
Verbatim? It is called These Are the 20 Best Christmas Movies Ever.
Got it.
Entertainment Weekly ranks Yuletide faves for any movie fan's library from to I don't want to give those away.
Who's going first?
Doge.
It's a wonderful life.
That's number one.
Yeah.
Big old Bing Bing. The classic.
It's time for my soapbox about that movie. It's only a Christmas classic because it was the first movie that was able to be watched on cable. It's the first movie that any studio gave any television broadcast rights for. It was considered a box office failure when it released. Nobody liked the movie, and people have just been gaslit into thinking it's an all-time classic, great Christmas movie. I don't really like it that much. I don't think it's that good.
Wow. I don't think it's that bad, but no, I do think that movie gets gassed up like crazy.
Now you take it back.
No.
What do you want? A better movie?
What do you want it in color? I'll give you color.
Number one, Jordan. Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
I'm going to give that to you. They only had Home Alone on here, but I'm going to give that to you. Bing, bing.
The second one, I feel
really,
like
that's interesting because it's a different movie.
Known
that's
to
a
be
different
better.
Movie.
Home Alone, number 11.
Elf.
Elf, also on that list, number 4, I believe.
Great. Yeah.
I feel like the Tim Allen, the Santa Claus literally has to be on the list or else
it's number 20, dude. Valid list. It just made it.
Yeah.
Bing, bing.
Did you see Casey Wilson just put out a podcast episode about her single episode working on the Santa Clauses, the Disney Plus show with Tim Allen?
I'm sure it's
a nightmare. Tim Allen is absolutely the worst person she's ever worked with.
No.
He would often just decide he was done for the day and turn around and twirl his little Santa cape and storm off the set because he was just done acting that day.
I'm so surprised that Tim Allen's
I know,
worst.
It's weird. He seems like such a fun and cool guy.
He gone.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Sure.
The claymation one.
Number 10. 1964 yeah. hit.
Yeah, that's a yearly watch for me. And it's whenever I can find it on YouTube because I'm not going to pay $40 for the Blu-ray of it.
Right. Yeah, it says Amazon Video to buy. Like, it's the only way you can get it outside of what Doge just said.
I'm going to go with Miracle on 34th Street.
Very good. That's also on the list.
Classic.
Y'all are killing it. That's number 15, 1947.
A Christmas Story.
Very good, Doge. That's on the list. Bing, bing. Number two. 80s had a handful of them, didn't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It was Christmas classics.
Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is on the list. Number 18. Are y'all 4 for 4, both of you, right now?
Yeah. Yeah, neither of us have had any strikes.
1989.
Jim Carrey's The Grinch.
Nice.
Here's the thing. I gave...
Yeah, give it to him.
Home Alone to Jordan. I'm going to give you this. They only have the animated version, but Jim Carrey's The Grinch is like, another... Huh?
The original cartoon or like the new...
No, the Dr. Seuss
Cumberbatch
one. The Dr.
version.
Seuss one. Come on.
Okay, yeah. Cartoon.
Number 5.
With
the
mean
Christmas.
One, Mr. Grinch.
1966. Yeah. I'll give that to you.
Jim Carrey's Grinch is better.
Yeah, a lot of people say
because
that.
Because it's a full story.
And it's fun.
It's a lot of fun.
It's like saying like, yo, this meal's better than that snack.
Yeah.
Think a lot it. Of my favorite Christmas movies I know won't be on here because they're favorites to me for different reasons. It's like we're talking about where like the bar for Christmas movies is just different than other things because it's tied to the season. With that said, I'm sure there's several on here that I don't care for that I know are considered favorites and classics by many. So
I mean, y'all are betting 1,000 so far. So
in that same vein, a movie that I don't care for even at all, but I'm confident will be here, The Polar Express.
Bong bong. Yeah. Tis not.
Whoa.
Ooh,
honestly,
that's
it
the
only
first
credits
time.
The list.
Yeah. I was going to say that's the first time a shock and awe from the two of you was in a positive note for this
it
list.
It only credits
for
the any list.
That is not here.
Good.
How about can you hit me with a little, can I have a Love Actually?
Oh, nice.
That is on the list. Yes.
Yep.
That actually is there.
Okay. What about The Holiday?
Hold up. Let me get the yeah. Love Actually was number 6, 2003.
Cool.
So that's actually cool. Closer to one of the more modern Christmas movies that we have.
Yep.
What did you say, Jordan?
The Holiday.
That's a bong bong. I would have definitely put that up here. I love The Holiday.
Ooh,
Mr. Napkinhead.
I guess you hate Christmas, Jordan.
I do. It's well known.
Charlie Brown Christmas. Doge. What is that one called?
Showing keen awareness of these top Christmas movies. Yes, number 3, 1965, A Charlie Brown Christmas.
I think calling cool. that or the animated Grinch a movie is a smidge
they're
generous.
They're not really movies, huh? They're made for TV animations.
A smidge generous, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It is.
See, you know what's fun? Like, my family watches the animated Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer every year, and that movie's terrible, and it's one of my favorites. But I know that that's not on there, obviously.
Doge, you got the top 6.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not surprised by this. I mean,
oh my.
We know how I feel about the season.
I don't know. I'm struggling here.
Hold on.
How many do we not have? Like, how many are available to grab?
I think like 8 or 9.
Oh, still. Dude. Bad Santa.
Yep. Number 7. Bad Santa. Good job.
Thanks.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Bad Santa. Is that the other? Billy Bob had the same amount of gravitas in that as he did in
Princess Mononoke.
That's a fact.
I'm Santa Claus, but a bad Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Bong bong. Yes. He does bleed.
Oh, is that the animated one?
Bleed.
Uh-huh. With Mickey Rooney as Santa.
Is that the one with the Burgermeister Meister Burger?
Uh-huh. Okay. And the Winter Warlock.
Yeah. One in front of the other and such.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Okay.
Why you say
That's not what it's called. Do you want me to just give it to you if you got the name wrong?
No. It's called Santa Claus is Coming to Town. You're probably seeing on the list, and I'm going to go ahead and kill this one because nobody can say it. You're probably seeing The Year Without a Santa Claus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a different movie.
See, that's why I was double checking because there's two of them that are like weirdly similar.
But shouldn't I give him credit for that if we did Grinch and Home Alone like that?
I think those are
no, it's a different
I think
movie.
Those are different.
They're very
I don't
different
think they're
movies.
Two versions of the same thing. Okay.
The Year Without a Santa Claus is the one with the Heat Miser and Cold Miser. The brothers.
Markedly worse, I would say, than the other one, which is weird that
Santa Claus is Coming to Town is definitely my very favorite one of the claymation.
No, mine dude, too. Listen to me. Better known as the movie with the Heat Miser, Santa, Mickey Rooney, has a cold and decides to take a year off from Christmas.
That's a different
movie. Mickey Rooney is Santa in two of them.
But there's Heat Miser and Snow Miser are both in this one.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They're the ones in The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Burger is the one in Santa Claus Coming to Town.
Is Santa Origins. It's how he becomes Santa.
Oh, wow. All the lore. All right.
Yeah.
You didn't get it. Yeah. It's a strike, dude.
Well, you didn't read the tie-in comics or the web comics or get the special email subscription, so you're missing out on key pieces of the lore.
Jordan, you're holding on here.
I'm just so excited that Polar Express isn't on this list that I'm like having
is that the best thing about it?
Myself. Yeah, it really is. I think that movie's terrible. But I know people love it. Just not me. What's on my must watch? I'm going to take a swing at one that I think deserves to be there, but I'm okay with taking the L on this one if it doesn't happen. But it's just important to me that someone acknowledges The Family Stone.
Not on there, but
it's okay.
So many people I know watch that every year.
I think it's my number one favorite overall. But
it is a
such a bummer wrencher. I like the other ones for different reasons.
It is a heart wrencher. Doge, you have just one strike, I believe. Let's see let's keep this going.
I got a guest to burn, so let's see if Frosty the Snowman with Andy Griffith is on there.
That's a good call.
Bong bong. Great guess, though.
I bet it's not. Yeah.
I'm struggling to think of other classics. I can think of all the ones I like.
Jingle All the Way.
Oh.
Dude, I wish. It's my favorite.
Nah, bong, it's bong. Not. It's not. Yeah.
Bong bong. It is my favorite. It is. Number 20.
No, it's not.
And let's take note of the year that these were made. It is hard to get in any kind of list. And Entertainment Weekly's iteration is not the be-all, end-all. But The Santa Claus, 1994, number 20.
Great.
Number 19, 1984's Gremlins. A lot of people consider that a Christmas movie.
That means Die Hard.
I've seen it on lists before. I would have definitely guessed Die Hard. 18, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, 1989. Sure. Then we had Scrooged, 1988, Bill Murray.
It's a good movie. Then I don't know that I would put it in the top with these, but okay.
Same. Die Hard, 1988, same year. Miracle on 34th Street, 1947. White Christmas, 1954.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that we didn't guess that.
Yeah, Rosemary Clooney, Bing Crosby. The Nightmare Before Christmas, 1993.
Ah, fair.
Mm-hmm. Trading Places, 1983. This is the Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy.
I don't think I've ever seen that, actually.
I haven't either.
I haven't either.
Number 11, Home Alone, 1990. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, 1964, the claymation that we guessed. The Year Without Santa Claus was 1974. Number 8, The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Ooh,
I was
going to
guess Muppet's Christmas Carol.
1992.
That's Bad Santa, 2003.
Love Actually, 2003. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, 1966. And then Jim Carrey's version, I think, was what? 2000, early 2000s?
2002 or three, I think, probably.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Elf, 2003. Good year for Christmas movies. Charlie Brown Christmas, 1965. Christmas Story, 1983. It's a Wonderful Life, 1946. You'll get some decades that have three movies that even make these lists, but most average like two. And there sure are a lot of shots. I think if you know that you can actually pull off a good Christmas movie and attach it to a holiday, there's going to be a lot of money made. It's like Mariah Carey being back on the charts with a Christmas song.
Yeah, right.
It's a tough nut to crack. I'm glad it's not easy. But it makes for a fun game.
There's a handful on this list that I disagree with, but overall, I'm not mad at this. Yeah. It's a decent list.
Pretty solid list.
To stay with all the good vibes of just having a fun time on this podcast, let's play Extra Credit real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway. Just real quick. Have some fun.
Quick Extra Credit. What's your favorite Christmas movie of all time? Actual favorite.
Pound for pound, probably.
Mine's Jingle All the Way.
Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, or the first Santa Claus, even though I don't like Tim Allen, but that movie's great.
Okay. Doge?
Here's the thing is that I love A Christmas Story, but I'm not going to say that because you're going to make us pick actors from that, and there is no one in that movie that will help us in Extra Credit. So let's say Elf.
I don't like Elf. A Christmas Story almost at all.
Really?
I like A Christmas Story.
I don't like
it. I like it a lot.
Same. So we'll use Elf, Jingle All the Way, and whichever one you want of the two that you said, Jordan.
I feel like Home Alone 2, Lost in New York is going to give us some better options here.
Then what? Then what's your other option?
Santa Claus.
Oh, I thought you said the Family Stone.
No. That would be
no,
endless.
Let's do the Family Stone.
No, that is my favorite like Christmas film. But as far as like, I feel like that's a different category than Christmas movie, you know?
Yeah.
That's a good... Yeah, I think mine would be maybe Little Women.
Right,
we watch that every Christmas time.
Family Stone is a movie, a good movie set at Christmas time, but Home Alone 2 is Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
What on earth? There are so many. The Making of Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. But it's just a video. And all it is it's narrated by Tim Curry.
Got it, Tim Curry.
Just give me the actual... Okay, cool. So Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. We're going to play Extra Credit. This means that we can use Macaulay Culkin there, Joe Pesci, Daniel Stern if you want, Kat O'Hara. So there are some names there. Since we did Elf, obviously that gives us Will Ferrell, Zooey Deschanel, Khan. We could use him. Jingle All the Way gives us Arnold. Young Anakin, Sinbad. Mine doesn't really help you very, very much. But Extra Credit, for those that haven't heard, it uses the IMDb algorithm that uses some of the same magic that I believe Santa uses. Mm.
Which
doesn't necessarily make sense, and it's always changing. They have to try and guess the top known for each of these actors or actresses that they choose from this pool of movies. This time it's Christmas. They'll have three that they choose from. They have to try and guess three of the four known fors to win the game. So they only need 9 credits. They can get 15 because if you guess all four correctly, you get extra credit. We'll see if that happens today.
Would you like to start with Arnold?
We can.
Who would you like to start with?
I didn't have an option. I was just thinking through Arnold's top four, and I think it might be tough, but it's extra credit, so let's just do it.
Yeah, we're going to lose. Let's just lose now.
I'm thinking one from each.
Okay. Yeah.
It's your game.
We'll have to do
lose it when
we'll
you have to need do it.
Two from one of them. Yeah.
What?
Mm-mm.
We only do three.
Yeah. We only do three. That's how the game. That's how
the game
works.
Some slack.
The
he's game. Never played.
I'll make sure
the rules of the game
in
is.
Post. We'll add me explaining how to play the game.
That's good.
Oh yeah, that's
just
true.
That yep. I'll do it later.
We'll just, I'll just drop on that me. One. That one file that I have of you explaining every game that I drop in every episode before we yeah, play that game.
That's on me. Saves a lot of time.
The Predator.
Yeah.
For Arnold.
Yeah.
Lock it in.
Let's lock it in.
Bong bong.
That's what I was afraid of.
Yeah.
It's the yeah. most wonderful time.
Terminator yeah. 2.
Yeah. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bing, 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 bing. Judgment Day, number one.
I think Terminator
guys,
2.
Guys, I love
there.
That movie so much.
So good.
You think Terminator 1 is in there too?
I think so.
Okay. The Terminator. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bing, 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 bing. Number three.
Jamie. That was accidentally, it was a little bit Nandor.
Nandor.
Yeah.
The Terminator.
I think either.
One of his most recent credits is as Zeus in the BMW commercial.
I think True Lies has a very real chance
yeah.
of being up there. Kindergarten Cop has a very real chance of being up there.
Total Recall Jamie. Might be there.
Total Recall definitely might be there. I think there could be Expendables, but I think any of those we just said are more likely than Expendables.
Yeah. It also could be like Terminator Genesis or one of the crappy new Terminators.
It could be, but I just doubt it.
He's got a lot of good.
How many more guesses do we have?
Two. One. Oh, we have a strike.
Oh yeah. Dang.
Total Recall.
One more. What
do you think Total
Final
Recall?
Final guess.
Total Recall.
Let's go
lock
total
it
recall.
In.
Lock it in.
Bong bong. Number one, yeah. Terminator 2. Number two, The Sixth Day. Cannot believe that. This has had so much hype and it was an awful movie.
I don't even know. I've never
number three, The
this.
Terminator. Number four, Last Action Hero.
Okay.
1993.
Yeah. It's just hard because he's so strong and so many of them. He and they're so all strong. So good to watch him be strong.
I knew we should have done Sinbad. I'm thinking Tim Curry.
Ooh. Yeah, sure. Tim Curry.
I think it might be That's easier fun. Than we think. Maybe. I don't know. He's done a lot.
Clue.
It's definitely Clue. It's definitely Clue. Lock it in.
Lock in Clue.
Bing, bing, bing. Number three.
Number three. Probably.
Do you think? Okay, so it is a television miniseries.
I think there's a very real chance that it is up there, but I think Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah,
is
okay.
a guarantee.
Definitely Rocky Horror Picture Show. Lock it in.
Let's lock it in.
Bing, 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 bing. Number four.
Ooh.
I think Home Alone 2 Lost in New York could be there. Genuinely, I think that it could be there. And I think that
Muppets Treasure Island.
Yeah, could be. There's probably some voice work that I'm not gonna get, but
yeah,
I think it's fair to guess it.
Yeah, it. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bong bong. It's a good guess. I would have guessed it. Would have guessed it. What an awesome poster Clue had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a fun movie, dude.
It's a great movie. I think I'm happy to guess Home Alone 2 Lost in New York. I feel like there's a chance.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Home Alone 2. Lock it in.
Let's lock it in.
Bong bong. Number one, Congo.
Don't know it.
Number two,
it's not
Muppet
true.
Treasure Island.
Get God. Out of here, dude.
Number
that's
two.
So good.
Number two. That's wild. Number three, Clue. Number four, The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I
number
can't two, believe Muppet Treasure Muppet Island. It makes me really happy. Island.
Number two.
Because who that's else is going to get the credit? Kermit?
Yeah.
I don't have an IMDb.
He should, by the way.
So good.
Gonzo was at the Game Awards last night.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if Kermit had an IMDb page?
He should.
That feels like IMDb should hook him up with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Muppets being treated as though they are portraying themselves and everything.
Yeah.
Should be treated as real life.
Should be a category at the Oscars.
Yeah, best Muppet.
Best Muppet
every
performance.
Year.
Yeah.
Dude, why not? Last night at the Game Awards, Gonzo talked about how his favorite game of the year was Tears of the Kingdom just because of all the cuckos. That's real. That's legit.
That is... See, the Muppets are never not funny.
Agreed. 100% agreed.
And it's cross-generational, cross-cultural. Muppets Dude. Are always a 10 out of 10.
It's because the ethos we of have, the Muppets is keeping up with modern trends while being relatively just like wholesome and inoffensive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Our TikTok with those five Muppet videos.
Yeah, that's very true.
Still blowing up.
That's proof.
Every day.
It's proof. People are hungry for Muppets. I don't know. Disney is mismanaging Muppets maybe harder than they're mismanaging Star Wars.
Dude, let Jason Segel take full ownership of the Muppets and just do whatever he wants with them. He clearly loves them. Just let it happen.
I don't care. So even if it means I don't get Shrinking Season 2, but I get a plethora of Muppet content, that's fine.
That's a tough sell, but I think I'm on your side here.
What if Shrinking Season 2 has Muppets in it?
Fine, dude.
Wow.
I would be okay if the Harrison world Ford started with a to bunch treat of Muppets like real people. If
he would hate it.
If movies that weren't Muppet movies started casting Muppets in the roles.
Yeah.
Fine, dude.
Yeah. Fine.
I'm down.
Fine.
NCIS.
We gotta pick
out Fozzie.
I think Will Ferrell.
We could do this forever.
Yeah, Will
You have
Ferrell.
To get it perfect. And you could still win though. If you get Will perfect.
Hey, we won't. You win. But that's okay.
I think we can get pretty close with Will Ferrell, dude.
Elf. If you get Will perfect.
It's definitely Elf. Lock it in.
Bong bong.
Lock it in.
What?
Are you serious? Talladega Nights.
Yeah. Talladega Nights.
Lock it in.
Anchorman.
Blades of Glory.
No, it can't be Blades of Glory. Talladega Nights, Anchorman.
Anchorman 2.
The other
Lock
guys.
In Talladega Nights. Those tell us, three tell us about Talladega Nights.
Bing, 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 bing. Number one.
Anchorman, lock it in.
Bing, 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 bing. Number three.
The other guys.
The other guys, lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bong, bong.
It's going to be like the campaign.
Number one, Talladega Nights. Number two, Anchorman 2. Number three, Anchorman. Number four, Blades of Glory.
That's not even, Blades of Glory is not even good. Blades of Glory was the beginning of the end of me caring about Will Ferrell. I'm actually more into Will Ferrell now than I was during the last 15 years before now.
Yeah.
What's happened to give you a Willisance?
He was in
honestly,
Barbie.
Yeah, I think that he has just... I don't know if I have changed or he has changed, but I have listened to him on enough podcasts. I think, honestly, I think what it is that Will Ferrell has remained not only unproblematic, but kept up better than I thought he would. And has sort of stayed this like comedy darling in a way that I appreciate. But still, like, I just had so much Will Ferrell burnout during the last decade, and that doesn't change.
He was like the biggest deal in the world.
It was too
as
much.
Far as like comedy stuff.
It was too much.
Yeah, he was oversaturated. Yep.
Yep. Well, that was extra credit.
It was very fun, and
not.
I'm glad we did it.
Same.
And I can't wait to find out who plays the elf in Elf because it's clearly not Will Ferrell.
It's certainly not one of his top credits.
No.
Yikes. Ad break, I guess.
Shout announcements is normally what we, I think we decided to call it a couple episodes ago.
That's so kind we'll of the love. That's how the parlance, the local terminology.
We'll just do that.
Shout announcements. It is. I meant to look ignorant so that you could actually, so that you could actually get us to the ads.
Oh, okay.
To the shout announcements. See, I've done it again.
Welcome to Shout Announcements.
Gosh, so oh, did you, Carter, did you take the Jordan off the stove? It's starting to boil over. Did you hear that? I think the water is ready for our tea.
I actually went to run and go get the WD-40. For that creaky door.
When water,
that ancient chest.
When water boils over onto the glass top stove and it leaves a spot, what is that? What's the residue?
Minerals. It's the minerals in your water.
That's concerning.
Mm-hmm.
It's the iron in your blood. Sorry, I was thinking of the X-Men for some reason.
Well, and that's why I stop. I've stopped drinking water entirely, and I just open up a vein in my forearm and pour the sink straight into it just to get the water to my blood faster.
I just eat minerals instead.
Like apples?
Wow. And I found that it works better.
Like a salt lick?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I have a salt lick and then like an iron lick and then like a copper lick.
A magnesium lick.
I have a lead lick, and it makes me have great ideas and have a good personality.
What are you staring at? Huh?
Huh? My lead lick.
You got a lead lick.
What are you looking at? You just keep staring off into the distance. Huh?
Huh?
Shout announcement for you guys here. We've got that $3 tier on Patreon. For some bonus eps, extra votes, when we have voting series. And then on the $5 tier, you can join our Discord community, which has a lot. We had somebody who just watched Boy and the Heron. People go in there. It's a very respectful community. We do a very good job with the spoilers, just to be like, hey, you know, cover that up. Make sure if people want to read that, they have the option to. They also have the option to avoid it. So another thing that you get to do in being a part of that Discord is you have access to being a part of Box Office Ball, which is our fantasy football meets real world box office monies in the movies game. And with the movies coming back next year and these announcements continuing to fill the calendars, we've got confirmed dates now. We're going to be playing Box Office Ball again for that first half of the year. And so jump over into Discord, get ready to join us for the draft. That'll probably be the first or second week of January is when that starts. So that means the draft will be right at the turn of the calendar. So if you want to be a part of that, come join us.
Next week, we'll be watching another movie, one that I'm choosing for Carter as part of our Secret Santa streaming movie gift exchange.
Yay!
Don't know what it is yet, though, because I haven't gone movie shopping.
Good announcement. And I want to give a shout out to you, our listeners.
Yeah, no, you get a turn.
Because you're beautiful, you're wonderful, and it's the Christmas season. And I want all of you in my stocking. Oh,
wow. Okay.
Have to be a pretty big stocking, though, because there's so many of you.
A big sock, probably size 12 or 13 even. Crazy. Could be bigger.
Why aren't there sock sizes? Sometimes my feet stretch.
There are.
I've never seen a sock size before.
Yeah, there's some medium. Small, medium, large.
Not the way I do it, apparently, because every sock I've ever bought is just sock.
Are you shopping in the kids section? You're wearing 4T socks? Yeah, LG. See, look, Carter's LG. Uh-huh. It's an electronic sock made by LG.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Welcome back to the show. The Christmasist part of the show, in fact, where we will be discussing a new sure-to-be classic, chosen specifically for Doja's interest in Shrek, in fantasy creatures,
also he loves Sonic.
He loves Sonic.
The Hedgehog and the restaurant.
And the Hedgehog. Mm-hmm. Anyway, today we'll be discussing the new Eddie Murphy vehicle, Candy Cane Lane. And
Candy Cane Lane.
Doge, give me a synopsis so that we can discuss this. I'm going to call it a film.
This week's IMDb synopsis has no author, which of course means that an elf cursed it into being. A man is determined to win the neighborhood's annual Christmas decorating contest. He makes a pact with an elf to help him win. And the elf casts a spell that brings the 12 days of Christmas to life, which brings unexpected chaos to town.
All of that is true.
That all does, and I watched it last night so I can confirm, that does, that is what happens in this movie.
Can I?
Unexpected chaos? I expected it.
Can I say something crazy?
Yeah.
Say it, dude.
I liked it.
I had fun.
I liked it.
I certainly did. It's a bad movie. That's why I was thinking
movie.
Like, it's so my favorite Christmas movie of all time is Jingle All the Way. It's wild, dude. There's like, I will often, if I like stub my toe or I come up just short in some kind of game or something, I will to myself around the holiday season say, Balthazar. Because I love that movie and it's stupid. And so I was trying to be like, okay, cool. I was this 90s kid that grew up watching Jingle All the Way and it certainly changed. I certainly realized at some point in my life that it was really bad, but I loved it more. So is that the flavor this has?
Not quite.
I don't know.
I don't think.
Not quite.
I think.
I think
there's a major
anybody.
Difference. No, I hated this movie.
Yeah, that's what I
I could not. Could not wait for
you
it
said
to end.
Oof. That's the last thing I heard from you until we got on the podcast today. Was Jordan said, I got you this. And Doge said, oof. Oh, bro. Eddie Murphy cashing that check. He got $15 million for this. Next highest billed was 1.2.
Eddie Murphy sleepwalking through this movie.
Full
My guy seems tired.
I thought he was charming and fun.
He seems so tired. But it does seem...
He's old.
It does seem a little bit diluted.
Of course.
From what we get from normal Eddie.
Uh-huh. Here's my biggest question with this movie that I liked very much. Who's the audience for this? Because it cannot be kids. It cannot be kids as an audience for this movie.
I think it's us. I think it's kids born in the 80s or 90s because this had to me... A big Jumanji vibe.
Oh.
And I think, I think maybe that is who it's appealing to. And especially when you use Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
You know, he was he's multi-generational, like, I don't know. There's a lot of he's just been so good for a very long time. I promise you, though, I do think he sleepwalked it.
Yeah.
A little bit, because they're doing another Beverly Hills Cop movie. 100%, he is not going. It won't be. And I know it's two different characters, but I bet he's more excited.
Yeah.
To do something like that than this. But he was fine.
Yeah. He didn't offend me.
Yeah,
I thought he was fun and charming.
I wasn't. Yeah.
My super dump is Peppermint.
What's Peppermint?
The
elf. Yeah.
Is
Jillian Bell?
I think she's crazy
tough,
because
man.
Jillian Bell's funny.
She's hilarious.
Dude.
She's hilarious. Peppermint as a whole was just bad. It was like acted poorly to me. And again, saying poor acting about Candy Cane Lane that streams on Netflix.
Yeah.
Amazon.
Sorry.
We got to make sure we give Bezos the credit for this one.
Sorry.
It's part of his unique vision for art.
Cash a check. It just didn't make... Obviously, this movie as a whole doesn't need to make sense, but parts of it do. And I don't understand her dynamic and how we just got over it at the end. It was fun for them to point at it and say it out loud of like, what, they're good now? I don't know. She was kind of messy. I don't even think she needed to be there because so many of the other concepts seemed really fun. I didn't need some deranged, mischievous Rumpelstiltskin, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't need that.
But with regular ears, by the way.
Yeah, we didn't give elf ears to the elf.
It feels like the one—
I never
like,
saw her ears, so I thought they were just hiding it.
No, they were regular.
Behind hair.
I saw. I watched the extended cut.
I really like Jillian Bell.
It was 5 hours long.
She was pretty bad in this.
Yeah. Yep. I'll super dump.
If you can think of one.
Don't say the whole movie. You can't say the whole movie.
Well, it's not the whole movie. My super dump is when you bring up, because I was trying to also figure out who is the audience for this, because there is like, I think the Santa Claus 1994 is a great example of what this movie is trying to be.
Threading that needle.
Where like threading the needle of like, there's stuff that adults find funny.
Yeah.
Like Santa Claus rolling down the street in a Panzer. No kid's going to get that, but adults think that's funny, right? And then also the fantastical element of Tim Allen literally becoming the actual Santa Claus. But I think that works where this doesn't. And my super dump for this movie is that this is like three different movies. It's like it. I can tell this script went through a couple of different versions. Like there is the, there's a man who's cursed to become part of a Christmas village unless he does this thing. Mm-hmm. There's the story of this guy's trying to win his street decorating contest. And so it gets crazy. And there's also the story of this guy is cursed by an elf for the 12 days of Christmas to come to life. And none of them really go together to me. I think those are three different stories that we just mushed into one story at the end. And the movie is extremely unfocused in a way that I think even Jingle All the Way is more focused than this, where it's like he wants one thing to get the Turbo Man toy for his kid.
Turbo Man.
Yeah.
And like, it escalates from there, but there is not a meaningful sense of escalation in this movie. Yeah. Every single thing that happens is a completely unexpected, in a bad way, next thing to happen in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The concentrated essence of that is the French hens running around in the factory.
That was funny though.
It was totally shocking to me. There was like, hang
that was
on.
Funny.
Now they're Muppets. It was unbelievable.
Dude,
it was unbelievably bad.
They were
to me.
So French though. They're the only ones
that's
that we
so
decided.
Funny. French so hens is hilarious.
That was funny. Doge, so I guess on a like 1 to 10 Murphy scale, you're saying he was like maybe a 4 in terms of what he's capable of in this movie? Where would you have ranked him?
Oh, like 2.
Like
1. If there were no jokes. 10, there were no okay. jokes.
I agree with okay. that.
He didn't do anything funny.
I agree with that.
There were no jokes in this movie.
If Eddie got to be like a 7 or an 8 on the Murphy scale.
That's what I'm saying.
Way more do you not care anymore about how there's not this through line? Like that there's like 3 different stories?
I think more crazy Eddie would have been good. I think if this movie came out 20 years ago and it was called The 12 Days of Chris, and it was like
it's a much better name, like, by the way.
He's like especially Scroogey. And like hates Christmas and just wants to work and make money for his family. And so like an elf curses him for the 12 days of Christmas to come to life because the only thing he cares about is gifts. So here's these horrible gifts.
Yeah.
I think that's way better. That to me feels more like a 20 years ago, Eddie Murphy would have made this movie and it would have been amazing. Or even like a Christmas with the Cranks type of vibe of like he's trying to win the decorating contest and it just gets out of hand. But like I think mushing all three of them together is totally bizarre to me.
Yeah. And I'm not going to make this like a dissecting my love for Jingle All the Way, but we did. We've done that for the podcast.
Yeah.
And we did talk about how like Arnold is always 11 in anything he ever does.
Uh-huh.
And so it plays to scenarios like that. But I do want to say like Eddie Murphy's performance and just the way his character was written was just so bleh that any kind of lesson learned was like, did he really need that though? Because he felt like a good person from the start, kind of.
No, he didn't need any lessons, I don't think.
This is such a weak script, man.
I fully agree. But for me, I think what I'm just seeing and realizing is like, I think I'm comparing Eddie Murphy to like contemporaries of his. Like, and how much work, if Tim Allen signed on for this project, if this was a Tim Allen vehicle. This movie would be about how Christmas is not about Jesus enough anymore, and it would be really preachy and weird for like a movie, and it would have some sort of tie-in to conservative ideas in a way that I don't appreciate and all this. And I don't know. I think this movie just made me happy that Eddie Murphy is fine to just like roll up and be in something this stupid and then go home.
Don't mind him being around.
Yeah. It's
but
like,
he's usually it though. He's the guy. Yeah, he is. And he was not. And that was bizarre.
Here's what I reflected on for quite a while after this movie was over is I think that Eddie Murphy,
the true meaning of Christmas.
Yes. I think that Eddie Murphy is such a great leading man that even delivering a subpar Eddie Murphy performance is still a solid Christmas C movie leading man that's like likable and charming even when he's on autopilot.
Yeah.
And in a way,
I don't know of a good Eddie Murphy Christmas movie. I was watching it being like, is this his one of his first big ones? And then when I hold him in such high esteem for this to be his one shot, I was like, oh man, I think I would've, I wish he would put more effort into it.
Sure.
But it was an easy 15 mil. We'll take
it. Say,
I didn't hate it by any means. I was glad he was there. I'm glad it wasn't anybody else. I'm still glad Eddie Murphy was our lead.
I think that's kind of how I feel is like, I'm just happy that it was him. I feel like I like Eddie Murphy.
I'll super pump now because there's a person who I dearly love in this movie, and that is Chris Redd. I love Chris Redd. I wish he had been had more to do in this movie, but he was the only... I actually laughed at most things Chris Redd said and did. Yeah. And in my fantasy world, the movie The 12 Days of Chris that comes out now stars Chris Redd. I feel like he would be great for... He needs to get an opportunity like that to be a leading role in a comedy like this.
In that movie, I think Eddie Murphy really needs to be Santa and Santa needs to be more front and center.
Yep. Yep.
The best line from the whole movie was in the outtakes during the credits. Did you watch the outtakes during the credits?
Yes. When
Eddie Murphy, I didn't watch them.
Eddie Murphy tells David Alan Greer that white Santa wouldn't have any of these problems and everybody just loses it. I think it was improv. It's Eddie Murphy just being Eddie Murphy is great. Can I super dump? And then I'm saving my super pump because I'm really excited about it actually. My super dump is the news segments specifically.
Oh, dude.
I need to find her name. And I just thought that every word out of Danielle Pinnock's mouth was... And it's not a her problem. It's a writing. Like the jokes that she told, like her segment of the newscast portion is the hands down... The fact that it's worse than Nick Offerman's British accent that is baffling.
Right? We haven't even brought up Nick Offerman's terrible accent.
The fact that there is something in this movie worse than Nick Offerman's British accent is insane. The fact that it is...
Dude, I enjoyed the newscast.
Oh my God, I couldn't.
It was the worst, dude.
I was enjoying this movie. I enjoyed this movie. I laughed. I had a good time. And every time the newscast came on, it was like, time to pee, time to get a drink of water. It's terrible, this newscast segment.
Yeah.
So you didn't even watch it?
No, I did watch it. Of course I watched it, Carter. But
wow.
He peed in the living room.
My question...
He has jars, mason jars.
My question is, at no point do they ever establish like what this is airing on? And they kind of...
Prism Cable, dude.
They kind of point it out.
It's Prism Cable, obviously.
Which is funny. Like early on in the movie, Eddie Murphy talks about how it's probably on cable or streaming or on the internet or something. And it's just they never address again.
Just like, don't know.
Is this TV? Is this straight to somebody's YouTube channel? Like, what is this? And I think that's very funny. But the newscast portions themselves were, I mean, an absolute.
Can we talk about Nick Offerman for a second?
Yeah, we can't let him get away with this.
What a number one. Baffling. What a strange choice. Absolutely bizarre choice. Number two, the movie glosses over what I'm pretty sure they're implying, which is that Nick Offerman is a real Victorian man who's been trapped in Christmas Village and whose whole family is dead.
Yeah, were we supposed to be sentimental about that?
He gets like one line and Eddie Murphy's like, you go spend time with your family. And Nick Offerman's like, family, huh, bruv? Huh. And then it just cuts away.
He's like, family, mate.
Whole family's dead.
I might spend time with family, mate.
There we go, Gov. There we go. I can't even do it because we're too good at it. So Nick Offerman has a very recognizable voice.
Yeah.
So
he's also a great actor. Why do this to him?
Why? Well, this had to be his choice, right?
No chance.
No way.
So you're trying to think that like he's a good guy and he wouldn't do this to you.
Yeah. No, I think
with the sting of the fact that my guy was probably like, hey, you know, with his wife for the last decade has been trying that out, and she's like, it's okay. He's like, no,
there's no world where Megan Mullally would let him do that. I'm finally going to get a role, and he's like, yeah. His own choice. No, I believe that Nick Offerman is a good person who would never hurt me on purpose. And that
he was probably running low on wood or tools and just needed some money to get some more wood and tools.
I think this was his decision. I think he really leaned in, and he's Nick Offerman, and people are like, well, we can't tell
him
no.
There's no chance that this was his.
Yes.
There's no chance that Nick Offerman did this on purpose and The Last of Us in the same year.
Sorry, man. That stuff happens.
No, not to him.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, but Nick made this decision himself. There we go, love. Like, he was supposed to be the, like, one that we... And the whole time I'm thinking... Like, even if this wasn't Nick Offerman, even if this was some actor...
Dude, I'll tell you what.
That was like, hey, we're going to do a money saver here.
That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
It is worse than Dick Van Dyke's accent.
Even if we just had someone who needed to be British, I would be still thinking... This is an awful British accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that it was Nick Offerman, who is recognizable, is bad. The effects were kind of fun. Like, some of the special effects looked.
Yeah.
Couldn't quite nail driving, though, huh?
Ooh.
No. Green screen and the driving portions were terrible. I thought the. I think in concept and special effects, like, related to concept, I think it's a really fun idea, bringing the 12 Days of Christmas to life just to show the absurdity of that song. I think is really fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the magic tree.
Sure. Yeah, that's fun. That's a different movie to me than Cursed to Become Part of a Christmas Village.
Sure. You're 100% right. There's three separate movies that just got jammed together here. And I think the one you take away to make it a more cohesive thing with two of these ideas, I think you take away the street competition, which is the namesake of the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
My favorite story was the one that was basically the Jumanji of everything.
Sure.
That's my super pump, is collect these rings and it'll like destroy them or whatever. It's like playing the game. It's literally Jumanji because the risk of Jumanji is if you lose, you're stuck in the game. And so I loved all of that. It was a big ping of nostalgia. And I was just kind of excited to see. I was like, ooh, we haven't seen the Lords yet. You know, I caught myself being like,
did we ever get Nine
were
Ladies
them pipers,
Dancing?
Though? We didn't.
We didn't get,
I don't think we ever saw Nine Dancing. Ladies Dancing.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Dude, we saw one made of milking.
Was crazy.
That was nuts.
Got Milk? That's how I know it's for my age.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't even know if they do Got Milk anymore.
Dude, I've seen new milk ads that's like people running and working out. And it's like, did you know milk hydrates better than water? Can you imagine being sweaty and being like, what I need is some milk?
Dude, ads for like things rather than products is the strangest experience.
It's because it's paid for by the Milk Council, which is a lobbying group.
Yeah, no, I'm
we can talk about how dystopian and hopeless that is.
It's just
in my cafeteria in high school. It was as if milk held all the school records.
Yep.
Because it was just banners of these massive Got Milk.
Yeah, just Avril Lavigne drinking milk.
Dude, everybody was.
Can you imagine
everybody drinking milk?
Now,
Serena Williams was drinking milk. Mm-hmm.
Like in the middle of your day for lunch. Can you imagine being like, you know what I'll have with my lunch? Chocolate milk.
Even as a kid, I didn't really like milk that much.
Can you imagine that? Like I'd have to take a nap.
I still do love milk, but I don't have
it. I drank a lot of it because people told me it would make my bones strong. So I drank a lot of milk as a kid, but I don't think I ever enjoyed a sip of it. Unless
because you were like, I'm not breaking ever.
Yeah,
you ever broke a bone? Have you broken a bone?
Two.
Oh, sounds like you didn't drink enough
do
milk.
Good job.
Didn't drink enough.
Well, it's because I was drinking 2%.
Yeah, you got to do like 98% more.
Usually
I do 100. Probably. I drink 100%. I have to chew it.
I just drink cheese.
That's whole milk, right?
Just drink cheese.
Just some Ricos out of the can.
I would love to super pump. I've been very excited. We watched this 2 nights ago, and I've been excited to talk about the super pump.
I've been very patient and yucky.
You've been a very good boy.
Can I do
you
it?
Get to super pump now. Yeah.
I fell in love in this movie. With my super pump, who is Tracy Ellis Ross.
Yeah, oh, she's good, great.
Dude. I don't think I've ever seen her in anything before, or I don't think I've ever like
really?
Known who she was, I guess, or like paid super close
daughter
attention.
Daughter of Diana.
Unbelievably charming and fun to me. Like,
yeah, she's
like
great.
Every word out of her mouth felt really natural. Felt like she was in a different movie in a good way. Like she was just outpacing everybody as far as like charisma and buy-in to concept. And I just really loved her.
Big time.
I just thought that she was so fun.
She was the best actor in the
100%,
movie.
100%. 100% without a doubt she was. But she also was not, it wasn't like she had like gravitas that wasn't earned. Like she was fun and quick.
She just needed to,
And it felt like either whoever wrote for her was just better or they improved a lot and she's just very good at that. But she, I don't know. I thought she was so much fun.
She was great. She was really good. I wish we had had more of her, to be honest.
I agree. Yeah.
When we were getting all up in that. But she's really good.
I agree. And I thought we were going to get more like of her, and then we rushed everything to go up to 40 rings over 3 minutes, and it was just crazy.
That is such that a wild. That feels like a Christmas movie trope, though, sometimes, is like the lesson learned is in the last 2 minutes, you know?
We, except maybe escalate. For
Wonderful Life. Yeah, but even It's a Wonderful Life escalates. It's like, whole town's here. Everybody, come on.
I mean, I think Elf is probably the best example of like the crazy escalation where it's like, this is like a fun movie. And then at the end, it's like
the whole
park
city's
rangers.
Singing. So Santa's
the whole city's singing.
Float.
So Santa's sleigh can fly again. And he's being chased by the Ringwraith park rangers.
Yeah. What was your claim that you just made for Elf? You think it's the most escalating probably, quickly?
Yeah, probably the textbook example of a Christmas movie with totally wild stakes in the third act that it didn't earn in the first part
I think
of the movie.
The Christmas
like
movie
having a
formula.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
The Christmas movie formula seems to be escalate, resolve, navel gaze all within about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like escalate, resolve, reflect on all we've learned and how we've grown.
Yep.
That's funny.
I love that Eddie Murphy's reflection to his son is like, you know what? Tuba is cool. It's not.
Dude, that kid's
I'm sorry. It's not. I'm sorry. It's not.
You're good at music.
Yeah, not good. I did love Nobody's Ever Been Famous on the Tuba. No band has ever introduced a tuba player. That's pretty great.
Been like, and next up on tuba, that felt improv. Yeah. That was like, ooh, it's Eddie. Yeah. Eddie's
this,
here.
This was totally made for us because they had a drumline reference.
Yeah.
Nick Cannon's drumline. It absolutely was for our age.
Well, I need to send him a letter about the things I actually like then. I think they don't know me very well.
My letter would be one person long or one phrase long, and it would be Tracy Ellis Ross. Give me more of her, please. I think she's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just...
Maybe she could be the lead in the 12 Days of Chris.
She definitely could. Christina.
Yeah.
I was looking through. Apparently, there's a lot of things I need to watch because she's in a bunch of stuff.
She's in a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch.
Well, that's all I have to say about Candy Cane Lane.
You sure?
It's interesting because we didn't mention the Pentatonics.
What's their...
I often don't mention the Pentatonics in my life.
They did. I did think it was funny the way that they were... Pepper found them because she was singing a Christmas song. And they did. They were trying not to sing along. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. I liked that too.
And they're just there. That's also, I mean, feels kind of a Christmas movie thing. You just kind of put a semi-popular artist or something of the day and just throw them right in the middle of it.
Sure.
Pentatonix have been in commercial. At least two Christmas movies that I can think of because they're in the Illumination Grinch as well.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's really good. I like it a lot. It's not, it doesn't quite.
They're from Arlington.
Yes. Or at least one of them is. I don't know about the rest, but I know at least.
I think it's like two of them.
Is it?
They switched it out.
Ooh.
Yeah, Pentatonix, you know, not always my flavor, but I appreciate the talent and the buy-in for sure.
There you go.
So that's fun.
There it is.
Anywho, that's, yeah, that's Candy Cane Lane. Let's rate it.
Yeah, I'm pretty done. Can we rate
it?
Sure. I'm done talking about this movie. I'm done thinking about it.
Yeah, you are. We're going to rate it using the scientific cinema scale, which is, of course, as follows. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it, don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
The next best thing is buy it. That's followed by rent it. And then stream it. After that is forget it. And last but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
I streamed this. It was worth a stream. I wasn't upset that I went through the process. There were points that were pretty fun. The only letdown was I was excited for, you know, almost 2 hours of Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Because he's some of the funniest movie or TV moments that I've ever seen in my life is Eddie Murphy. And he just didn't even get close to that. So that was a bit of a
disappointment. I think 20 years ago when he was 42, he would have done a great job in this.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think he still got it. I think give him time. When he gets a project that he likes. He got nominated for an Academy Award within the last like 5 years.
I agree.
Years.
Eddie Murphy still has it, I think. I think this is just a phone in.
He still got it. He just didn't want to do it.
Yeah. We didn't bring her up, but I want to give flowers to the daughter, the youngest daughter.
She did a really good job.
Good.
Thought she was excellent. I'm also going to stream this.
She's better than Anakin.
She was better than Anakin. I'm also going to stream this movie. I thought it was fun. It's terrible. So know that going in. But if you just want, you know, 2 hours of Christmas puke on your TV, then it's great.
Yeah.
Which is what I want. So, yeah, it totally worked for me despite not working at all. Watch it just for Tracy Ellis Ross. She's great.
I'm going to forget this movie.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't quite reach the depths of God Hath Forsaken Us just because I think there are three distinctly interesting ideas in this, but they don't work together. I forget this movie. It is the least enjoyable experience I've had this holiday season.
You would hope, if I look back in my 35 years, my 35 Christmases, the hope is that every year I've had something that I could say, you know, that was a touch of Christmas magic, like each and every year.
Hmm.
I love that I'm getting it this early in December. But the fact that Biltmore Christmas was good, it continues to show that it was a good Christmas movie. That is absolute magic. Hallmark Christmas did my favorite new Christmas movie I've seen. And I've only seen two all year. But I kept like, at the end of it, as credits were rolling, Chelsea was like, I liked the Biltmore Christmas more. I was like, oh, yeah, I did too.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Not even close. Unreal. Unreal.
Pretty impressive.
Yes. It probably had 1/12 of the budget.
Dude,
way less than that. Yeah.
I mean, it probably had 1/12 of how much they had to pay Eddie Murphy.
I was about to say, there was nary a special effect in a Biltmore Christmas.
Sometimes the lights changed.
So.
Oh, that's true.
They did some stuff with the hourglass that was pretty cool. The floating sand.
Wow. Oh, yeah. The sand floated up. So unless they got special sand, that was probably somebody on a computer.
Somebody's
probably
nephew.
The director's nephew.
Well, there you have it.
Who technically is the director, but from the past.
Yeah.
Candy Cane Lane, everybody. Check it out or don't.
Don't watch it. Nope. Don't watch it. Skip it.
I think you can watch it if you're
worth it.
If you're just hungry for some silly, terrible Christmas, then yeah, watch it.
I think you shouldn't.
We know.
Hey, stick with me. I think you should.
Definitively not better than A Trip to Chili's. I will say that.
Yes.
No.
Far below the Chili's meter. Have you guys eaten Chili's since we started talking about Chili's once a week?
About it a lot.
Hey. We were on the way home from a job last weekend and we
DoorDash
Chili's. Yeah, we do. We were on the way home from working a rehearsal dinner last weekend and we DoorDash Chili's to get to our house at the exact same time we did. Y'all, Chili's hit. If you talk about Chili's once a week with your friends and then you eat Chili's hits.
Southwestern egg rolls.
Is that where we need to go when we...
But those Big Mouth Bites deliver better than almost anything.
Yeah, they're really good.
Maybe that's where we go when we do our talk for 2024.
Oh no, twist
my
arm.
We need to have a meeting.
Oh no.
We have to have a meeting at Chili's.
Well, it's the new golf course. It's where business happens. Make sure you tune in next week as we get Doge's gift to Carter. I'm sure it will be the best movie we've ever seen because we know Doge has discerning taste and really just likes the elevated higher things in life. And he's a Christmas movie expert, as we saw earlier today. To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to give our name and which day of Christmas we'd like to hang out with the most. Just spend a day with one of the days of Christmas. For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan Wonders. And I think that I would like to spend a day with the Lords of Leaping. They just kind of felt like if they weren't being antagonistic, that they would be sick as hell.
Yeah. They seem pretty cool. They seem, they were definitely from like a YA.
Yeah.
Like film.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they were my favorite.
I'm Doge.
They're
and
in the
I am,
Hunger Games.
Yeah, they sure. are. They are in the Hunger Games. I'm not, but I am Doge. And that counts for something at least. I'm choosing the 5 golden rings because that is a ring for each finger on one of my hands.
Okay.
No further questions.
I'm Carter and it's the 2 turtle doves. Because
I want to know what love is.
I'd want to get to know, like, what really, what is love? Or 9 ladies dancing would be fun. I'm sad we didn't see them.
Yeah.
But I think any 9 people dancing, maybe if they're good, I can learn new moves. If they're not, it's
you could be the 10th.
Party.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Carter, 10th lady dancing.
I would be saying, hey, ladies, how do we feel about signing up for another day of Christmas? Let's make it 10. And I, like, slide in. And be like, oh, we're talking about who gets the 9 days now. I don't know. That one drummer, I could get rid of him.
Hey, anyways. Ladies, have you heard of a little something called the robot? And you could teach him new moves. Just bam, 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 bam,
bam, bam, bam. Is that how?
That is.
Maybe.
It is. It should be.
Doge wouldn't.
Goodbye, Gov.
Goodbye, Gov.
Know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.